The crypto newbies tend to show up when price is going up and they're like, what's going on? And like that kind of thing. So kind of grab some link folks and put on a good showing. Like you'll know that we're really headed for serious highs if these rooms fill up with like 300, 400, 500 people at a time. That's usually how it was like, oh, I don't know. Like when like previous bull markets, when Twitter spaces opened, like the whole the thing would light up like a Christmas tree. A lot of people kind of retweet the space and stuff too. You can definitely see a lot more sort of like memes and stuff being reposted, which is cool. It's also good to have some people posting some charts and whatever. Some people are posting like you know, partnerships and alpha and stuff like that from the recent meeting. And that kind of thing. And some people just have like pictures of Sergey and stuff like just doing cult vibes posting, which is fun. I think like for any crypto to do really well from a price action angle, you really have to be like firing on all cylinders. You have to have like the fundamentals. So like the fundamentals nerds are there. You got to have the technicals need to look right so that like you've had to have plenty of consolidation. So people have like loaded up their bags and then every bag holder suddenly becomes like a tweeter or whatever you call it now. And we'll start like posting shit and like retweeting and that kind of stuff. So you want to pretty much retweet every single link thing because it just basically just saturates the timeline. Because like the best time for a new person to get in is not at the top. But like when prices have like a reasonable chance of going up is a better time to get like friends or followers or whatever to be involved. As it goes much, much higher, it's mostly just like gloating and shit. But even then, like when you gloat about it, people buy the top and stuff. So it is what it is. But like I tend to be someone that on the way up, I'll tend to look for like pretty solid dips, like 40% dips and stuff, and then kind of tweet about it again during those times. Because you know, like the best situation is for buyers to be happy buyers, and on social media especially, like if your bag is going up, you know, it's more exciting, it's more euphoric and more fun, and people are more likely to retweet, create content, and become like the next 5 years of like hardcore link owners or whatever, right? Like so it's people sort of like identify with their bag at some level, and I think it's still pretty, pretty early overall. Now, like the negative thing I see in the market though is like the fact that DeFi in general has not skyrocketed. Total 2, which is like the altcoin market cap, has not really increased that much. It's pretty flat. So what's happening right now is like Link and a few others are just kicking ass and are capturing more attention and more of the like legit buyers. And I think if you look at the top market caps, you know, let's say in the top 50 or whatever, like one of the most legitimate projects in the space is basically Chainlink. And it's kind of undervalued relative to like, you know, Cardano or some of these other nonsense things. Like, so I think, you know, even next to like Binance Smart Chain, I would say Chainlink's the better project. And so like it's really undervalued from that perspective, so you don't really feel like you have a shilling community that doesn't feel bad about shilling it. That's a really important feature of like crypto. Like you have to have some diehards. Like for example, a really great example would be like the Luna community from Terra for 2020, 2021, like this is a group of people that really wanted that to succeed. Like, forget about the fact that it crashed. The folks that were building on it, the folks that were like buying it, and the people that were shilling it were all people that really cared about it, like regardless of the crash and SBF bullshit and everything else. And, but yeah, you had really, really strong like social media vibes and stuff. And that, and I remember when Terra went from like $5 to like 120 or whatever. And then of course, like part of why it crashed was because like Galaxy Digital and a bunch of other dickheads sold, and dumped on people. And then Alameda kind of did a financial attack essentially, and that kind of ended it. But like, the point is not like that it crashed. The point is like the community was quite strong and, really, really like spread the word about the project. So any project where you can have like a YouTube channel, like say for example, like Chainlink, you could probably have like a month worth of YouTube content, like day after day after day, and not run out of shit that Chainlink is doing. So those kinds of, so in more bullish markets, as price goes up, you'll start seeing like the YouTube channels start lighting up and stuff. I would watch for those and share those. And like, if people are producing content, you want to really be like spreading that content, watching it, like giving them some likes on YouTube or whatever. And then what happens is that like you can tweak the algos and that pushes the attention up. So what you don't want to do is like sit around and go, oh, you know, someone else is going to pump it or whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm just going to watch everyone else and I'm going to just watch my bag go up. This is a mistake. Like, what you want to do is while price action is hot, you want to bring in as many new users into the ecosystem or into the coin or whatever as you possibly can. And usually you have like a good, like, you know, year or so to do that. It's not to say that you're trying to get people to buy the top or whatever. That's not a good thing. The point is, although someone will always buy the top, that just happens. But the point is to like bring in as big of a community as possible. And if they're going to, like, if you're going to be advising someone to buy something, don't have them go fucking all in at the top or whatever. Like, this is not the way to do things. So I think if you provide like decent advice, reasonable strategies that aren't just totally degen nonsense, then that can be good. But like the fact that you can, there's a lot to talk about with Chainlink. So with all the different developments and all, you know, it makes for good, like YouTube fodder, right? You can create lots and lots of content. Whereas there's a lot of chains that don't do shit, right? Like maybe the chain works and maybe you can do a couple of things with it, but like you don't have endless conversations about the various achievements and the partnerships and whatever. And I think like as you go forward, like over the next couple of years, if some of these things materialize, like the Vodafone thing or the various banks and things, like all of those will create network effects, not necessarily just for like the function of utility of Chainlink itself, but like network effects as far as conversation, right? Like how does something go viral? It goes viral usually if there's something useful to talk about and like people are willing to stake their reputation on retweeting it, right? Like, and so that's a big thing. Like, yeah, I mean, obviously the DGen kids will show up later and buy like, you know, they're the ones that are going to be buying like 120 all the way up to getting like linked to 400 or whatever that number is. But like those people are going to be like just posting nonsense for the most part. By that point, you have like, you know, euphoria is taking, you know, coming in and like people are going fucking nuts. You know how you've all been there. If you're here now, you've probably been here through most of the previous crypto cycle. You know what this all looks like. So I think those folks, you know, will be there and that's fine. That's all fun and games. But those are not the serious people who typically buy the bigger bags either. Like, you know, so you want to like attract serious investors to these things who have much bigger bags and like, ooh, they're like the crowd is back and I need to park my $1 million somewhere. I need to park my $10 million somewhere. Where am I putting it? So those type of buyers typically buy only more legitimate systems. So I think Chainlink has all of those features, but at the same time, the community does a pretty good job with memes and everything. And that's a big thing. Like you want to have the memetic effect of a Dogecoin. You want to have the fuck around and have fun like community. You want to have the utility and all of that shit, but never like forget how much advertising and posting on different forums, and not just Twitter, but everywhere. Like, how much that makes a difference. It makes a big difference. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey.
Do me a favor, turn your speakers down because you're getting a lot of reverb. Not your mic, but your speakers.
I don't know if he speaks English. I wonder his profile.
Oh, maybe not. Anyway, whatever. If anyone wants to hop up and chat, feel free. Anyway, what you been up to today?
No, I don't mind.
Hey.
I like listening to you. Hey, what's up, man? Hey. Yeah, Big Link Marine. Jonas.
Yeah,
Big Link Marine.
Yeah, I mean,
way too much feedback. I'm going to take you off speaker because nobody can hear you. Anyway, yeah, so... But yeah, feel free to kind of hang out. Like your speaker system doesn't work very well, Jonas, so we can't hear you very well.
You know what made me a little angry a couple months ago, or 2023, was seeing, I mean, not the coin itself, like Pepe. Like I'm glad like a coin finally came out for Pepe, but just to see the meme magic of Chainlink almost get taken and stolen a little bit, because we use Pepe as Chainlink as our main thing for the longest time. So when I saw Pepe like pumping early 2023, I was low-key salty. I was like, we need to step it up. But going into this bull run, I think Chainlink will – I think the Marines will always keep the Pepe, and I hope we can be louder and even more unique than they can ever be.
Yeah, I'm divided on the Pepe part because the Pepe memes are real heavy in 2020 for Chainlink, and I guess through 2021 also, as kind of we had that run up. But yeah, like, you know, are we big boys now, or do we proceed past that, or do we stick with it? I think the like where the Pepe is kind of playing with like little Chainlink cubes and shit, it's all pretty cool. Like it's like, but at the same time, like, are we indirectly advertising for the Pepe token now when we use it? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like the new person doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Like there's a lot of newcomers that'll show up and they won't know the difference between one or the other.
No, 100%. And maybe we were fudding ourselves by using Pepe all the time. You get an investor, you click on a Chainlink tweet and all of a sudden you see fat Sergeys and Pepes. Like we were fudding ourselves.
No, the Sergey tweets are always funny. Anytime you have like a founder that you can kind of like, you know, use as like a little cult deity god. It's very funny.
What was interesting today, I've been watching this one dude's position. He was like really heavy short on Chainlink, and he's like down like 600,000 like over the past 7 days.
Gosh, can you guys hear me again? Hit a thumbs up or something because my connection just went to total shit for a second there. Mo, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Ah, there. Yeah, we're good now. Yeah, like my Wi-Fi disconnected or something, so it went berserk. Stinky probably thought his connection was the problem. It was actually mine.
I'm not going to sit down too long. I got to connect at 3:30, but do you mind putting on maybe the apps specifically? Type of apps would be like Map of Zones or Restake and what you see for like the future. Those different type of app chains.
Oh, you mean like app chains for Cosmos, you mean?
Yeah, or just any type of application that could be replicated on chain, like Restake. Whenever they came out and they basically created this tool where instead of having to go in and compound yourself, if you were with a delegator.
Oh, yeah. So they would have you're asking on what platform specifically, like what specific chain?
Yeah, I know Restake was a big one, and Map of Zones is pretty interesting just because it shows all of the IBC transactions. But didn't know if you knew of any of the latest like application side of some of these. I'm a big Cosmos fan in general, so I'd kind of stick over there, but didn't know if you've seen any other that are being generated on different L2s and across different spaces that caught your interest.
I haven't like delved too deep into sort of like changes in DeFi lately. Sort of like early on, I was just right now. I mean, quite frankly, what I've been doing is like I've just been grabbing any coins that have like decent charts not too worried about what they actually do. Like, I mean, I'm serious. Like, and what I've been doing is, like, so for example, my Atom bag is really big. And what I'm doing there is, like, once that sort of like pops to a certain level, then my yield will be worth quite a lot more. And then I'll start poking around DeFi and start, like, you know, messing around with different ideas. But, like, I don't mess with a whole lot of small protocols and things because security risks are higher and whatnot. So, like, once you get to a certain size, you tend not to play around too much because, you know, you don't want to lose your money doing something stupid, like, or some rug pull or whatever. So I'm a little careful, but yeah, I've mostly just, like, in Cosmos side, I've mostly just bought my coins and staked. I haven't done anything too fancy this year so far. So yeah, not, I don't have like my finger on the pulse of all that yet.
Yeah, I feel like that's a rotation that would be coming pretty soon in my mind. Obviously when ETF is the big focus and the narrative for the halving, but I definitely think that DeFi and Web3 applications will be rolling around, which will be really interesting to see how people spin them up. There's actually an article in CoinDesk that rolled out where their Binance is talking about using a self-custody wallet and some type of Web3 application, which just makes more sense because you kind of run into road ends with regulation standpoints and you can't do anything and innovation gets stifled because you're in hurry up and wait or standby to standby. And so I think it'll be really interesting to watch people rotate into that type of space.
Yeah, what usually happens in DeFi is, like, if the main coin of that chain, like, pops in price, like, let's say, like, an Ethereum or, like, the primary coin of the particular DeFi ecosystem pops, then what happens is all of a sudden you got a bunch of people that feel rich. So imagine, like, you had, you have $1,000 in some chain. And you make a big pop to 10x or something. And now you're like, ooh, I have $10,000 to play with. And, like, my principal is only like 1,000. So then what people start doing is throwing percentages of that gain and they start, like, gambling on shit. But, I think Mo dropped off. But anyway, like, I think you'll usually see a lot of the sub dApps and the little coins associated with those things. People start speculating and just ape into all sorts of stuff when they feel rich. The other thing, the reason why everything pops when people feel rich is that then they'll take a little bit of their money and they might go use it on, use leverage somewhere, whether it's on a central or decentralized exchange. And then that pops everything. And you guys know how that works. So, like, all of those little microcap type things that are like tokens of various projects and shit, those things pop usually much later. The concern I have for all of that stuff and the reason I'm not heavy into those is because, like, the overall economic environment right now, like, in the world is kind of shit. And I don't feel strongly that there's, like, a lot of degens with a whole bunch of extra money on their hands that are, like, just waiting to blow it on crypto or whatever. So I think right now it is more important to sort of, like, pick projects a little bit more carefully. And I think most of the projects in the world right now, you, like, where you have a decent chart pattern and you have, like, you know, a good chance for a run up, even in a bear market, like, Link is one of those. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I bought that particular one. There's some other ones that are, like, not going to zero type things. Like, I think Cosmos Atom's not going anywhere. Cause, like, so much is happening in Cosmos that even if you had it just for a mimetic effect, Atom's not going anywhere. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I think will do fine and maintain through this market, but there's certainly some things that will pop away more than others. The other one I keep posting over and over again, because I'm, like, hoping somebody's going to fucking listen, is the FET chart is absolutely, like, beautiful. FET.ai is, like, an AI sort of, like, Internet of Things type of thing. I've never really deep dived into whatever the fuck it does, but it's like, I guess to control robots or something at some point. And, but the chart popped on FET based on the AI hype, you know, as you guys know, over the last year. And people just, like, said, well, what kind of crypto is, like, tied to AI somehow? Oh, this one is, and that one is, I'm going to buy them. So people made lists of AI related, like, and think of them as kind of memes too. Don't even think of them as, like, these chains actually do anything. Like, that's not the point. The point is, like, there's this narrative. maybe they'll do something, maybe they won't. Maybe the projects will succeed, maybe they won't, but who cares? The point is people want their little AI exposure and they just, you know, dig around finding it, and they make their way to these different coins. Like people Google something like, you know, AI crypto or something, and they'll find whatever coins come up on that list, right? They'll ask ChatGPT, which coins are, you know, good for, you know, AI, you know, exposure in crypto, and then, you know, it'll show up you a list. Anyway, but like FET, interestingly, has like, it's getting close enough to its prior high. And also it's had higher lows ever since its inception. And it's like the lower lows are actually parabolic. I mean, the higher lows are parabolic, the bottoms of the FET chart. So it's a really nice chart to like just analyze and just demonstrate what a coin that's about to go parabolic looks like. And the reason I posted it like 10 times today is because like, I rather tell people before things go up, you know, where the probability is pretty good versus like after it's already up, then you're just gloating and shit, right? Like, you know, which is fun too. Like, you know, if your bags are going up, you can have a cheerleading session or whatever. But yeah, there's a few like that that are in good shape as far as like chart patterns. But the total, hey, trader. QT.
Oh, hey, Seffy. Today? How you doing, man?
Oh, hey, Matt, too. What's up? I don't know if, you know, Trader QT is busy right now or what.
Yeah, he's anyway. Probably FOMOing into Link.
I'm here. Oh, I'm here.
You're FOMOing into Link now?
Is that what Holy shit. Doing? I just joined the space and this homeless dude came out of the bush. Fucking attacked me with a bottle. Hang on.
He wanted your Link?
Yeah. Like, into the space, he was like, you know, I was talking about Link. You know, I was thinking about Link. I had Link on my phone. I had on my screen. Big green candles. This fucking homeless guy ran out. And he was like, give me your fucking Link right now. And I said, Ran? Crypto man, Ran? Is that you? And he was like, no.
Damn, France. That's what I'm talking about. France sounds pretty dangerous.
It was definitely the dude who got liquidated in LA. Texas blockchain. Look him up on D-Bank.
So did the guy actually get liquidated? I saw all those posts about it, but like, why would he leave his position there to be liquidated?
Because people work and sometimes you can't access your portfolio. But no, that's I was funny. Looking at transactions. He was actually around 10 o'clock. He was making some trades, like just to beef up his health factor a little bit. But obviously Chainlink like pumped heavy the past couple hours or so. So his positions like were getting liquidated.
You think maybe he didn't have the money to cover and or like have enough money to pay the fees and everything? Or like what do you think happened?
Yeah, in a sense. And also he's playing with fire. If you go and look at his different positions, he has three different positions open in Aave V3 Ethereum, Aave V3 Arbitrum, and then he has something called Iron Bank, which I think is Ethereum. It's like a lending platform. And all his health factors right now are below 1.06. So like I think it was a mixture of that. I think he was a big ETH bull. I think he thought Ethereum was going to pump. I think he fell into the Chainlink narrative that pump and dump. But yeah, I have DBank. I bought the DBank Pro. I think it's like $10 a month. And you can do a time machine. And you can see like what an address worth over the past couple of days. And he was sitting at about 1.1 million less than a week ago, 7 days ago. And right now his portfolio, a refresh, is sitting at 593,000. So he almost lost 50% of his portfolio value by like trying to short Link, which is kind of retarded. Oh.
So my bag's going up while his is going down. That's cool.
No, yeah. Really cool things to see. Check it on the blockchain.
You're taking his money, Seppi.
I don't know why people do this. I don't get it. Like what makes you think you'll be smart enough to sort your leverage out that you're gonna make gains every time? It just won't happen forever.
Will you give him his money back if he comes in here?
No, I'm afraid not. It's mine now.
I'm just confused why he was trying to short something that was breaking out of an accumulation zone of like
it's
500 fucking days, if not more.
Well, people are still in that bearish mindset too. You got to remember that.
I mean, you have to be some sort of imbecile, though. I mean, in all seriousness, it's like, what are you watching that you decide you're going to short now? Like, what are you, an idiot? Like,
he thinks he's Michael Burry. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the hell exactly, Michael? Listen, Michael, like, you know, I mean, you have this conference with a ton of announcements, and like any sort of like like basic social sentiment indicator would tell you, like, it's obvious that like it's making a push. Like, what the hell? Like, why wouldn't you close out your short when everyone's joking about you online about it? Right? Like, it's not like anyone, people like worded it on Twitter, like, hey, by the way, look at this position. He probably wasn't paying attention.
I get all my advice from Trader QT, by the way.
Yeah, of course. So we don't make this mistake.
Hey, I got a question. If there's any Marines here prior to 2020, I just want to like ask you guys, what was it like with Chainlink and the team? Because from my understanding early on, Chainlink was pretty shit when it came to marketing and like transparency. They're pretty bad with it. Like, I got into Chainlink like summer 2020. So they were decent back then, but definitely 2023, they're going all out when it comes to marketing, YouTube. That Chris Barrett, community advocate, really cool dude who gets the community together. But yeah, I don't know.
They've always had good visuals, like, you know, the white background with the blue logo. And, you know, they've always had some pretty decent visuals and shit. I've never had an issue there. But, like, yeah, definitely now they're spending a lot more effort, like, punching out, like, stuff out of the Chainlink account on Twitter and stuff. I haven't followed all the other social media sites, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, but they also just had an actual conference, so they have stuff to talk about, which is good. I don't think there was anything nearly as much to talk about with Chainlink back then. It was all vaporware then. Remember, like, oh, we're going to connect this to that, and we're going to connect all the world, and blah blah blah, and like whatever. And it was good. Like, you know, we needed oracles. I mean, before Chainlink oracles, most of the price feeds, like most of the price action on exchanges back then, was all just like arbitrage, right? Like before Chainlink came along, there wasn't an oracle really, was there? And so that's the thing. And so they definitely changed the crypto space for sure. Like whether you know it or not, you know, a lot of centralized exchanges and whatnot have used Chainlink in the background. So that's cool. But like by transparency, what do you mean? Like you said the word transparent, like they were being secretive or something?
Yeah, from my understanding, the Marines back in maybe 2018, 2019, even 2017. 2017 was ICO.
I can't hear anyone, so I'm going to leave. I'm going to come back. Goodbye.
Yeah, from my understanding, the Chainlink team was just not that transparent when it came to like their goals or what they're actively working on, like early on. But I think nowadays you're even getting Sergey like answering questions that you wouldn't have like 3-4 years ago. These guys used to be like more silent and not post as much, which I didn't mind. I actually think it's really bullish for now because Sergey was always the type to put his head down and work hard before showboating and trying to promote
something. He was always clear spoken. Like it was never a question of like whether you understood what he was talking about. He's clear spoken, but yeah, he probably wasn't as he wasn't like, he still doesn't like try to go into like full shill mode or anything like that, which is good. Like you don't want the founders doing that stuff. I think what's helpful is what I don't like is when founders sort of disappear and go totally heads down. Then people like, wait, is anything happening here or what? Like the founder's position is a strong one as far as like verbalizing your goals and your aspirations for the chain or whatever. And I think all you have to do is repeat that over and over again and show the community that you're alive. That's about the main thing. Like, but again, like posting and fucking around on Twitter or whatever takes quite a bit of time. It's not like, you know, you got to have time to sleep and family or whatever. And, you know, screwing around on social media is not probably the most productive thing. So I don't know. I think it's fine now, though. The Chainlink Twitter account, at least, is pumping out something every day, I think, right?
Oh, for sure. It used to be a bunch of just like a little bit meaningless partnerships that would come out on the daily in Twitter, but now I feel like they're being very cool with the educational post.
Yeah, and I think part of how you know we're still kind of relatively early is like just a space like this. We don't have that many people in here yet. Typically when things get really, like we saw this with some of the most rabid communities where I think Luna Classic was really big. Like for some reason, a bunch of people bought Luna Classic and there'd be like, you know, 400, 500, 600 people in a room like this. Definitely Luna's community got that big. In fact, like my Twitter following happened because I was doing spaces regarding DeFi and stuff back then. And like, so you can tell, like when you have a little bit bigger account like this, you can tell when people are showing up because that people like your shit more, or they retweet or whatever, or they're like checking certain tickers to see how their bags are doing and what people are saying about them. Cause you know how it is, like there's all cope, right? Like, okay, now link is $15. Now you tell me why it's not going to go back down to 10, right? That's what people want to hear. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, so you, people show up and they're just trying to figure out how to justify their positions or whatever. And
Steffi actually pays me to show up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So you're on the payroll. You get a like part of my yield. But like, yeah, there's like, but there is that effect that is there. Like the euphoria is real. Like everyone feels it. Like, you know, so like when your bag is up 10x or whatever, like, you know, you're like, wait a minute, is this fucking thing going to go to zero? Or are we going to Valhalla? You know, like that's what everyone's thinking at that point. And they're trying to figure out, like, you know, they're trying to recalibrate their conviction or whatever it is. But like, you know, I think Chainlink's one of those that, you know, that the team is going to be selling some. And I think a general rule of crypto is like, let's say a team is allocated a certain amount of coin, and you know they're going to sell some of the coin for operations or whatever. Then what does that mean? That means that you are paying for, when you're buying the token, you are paying for like development. You're expecting some of your coins to be spent literally to hire people to run operations or whatever. And that's just like sort of like part of the investment. Whereas when you buy a stock, that's not always the case. You've already been, the stock's already diluted or whatever. The only times we get diluted is if they float more stock to, you know, to fundraise or whatever. So you can be diluted there too. But and then in like the proof of stake cryptos like Cosmos chains or Ethereum or whatever, what you have is a slightly different thing where the validators are getting paid in the coin that you know, via inflation or some other mechanism, and so those things lead to some selling pressure because, you know, a blockchain has expenses, a team has expenses. They're going to sell some of your shit. So you like, if the team themselves is being diamond handed and they're not going to sell until like, oh, you know, Link is over 1,000 and we'll start selling, then you can, okay, well, you know, then you can feel free diamond handing it. But if at the same time, like it's a chain that the validators are selling to keep alive and they're, you know, doing it to pay for their children's futures or, you know, to pay the bills or the validators' fees or whatever, then you should also sell for the same reason, right? Like, it's like just think of it as just a simple business. Like, if you own a coin, you know, just like if you go and own a like share of a McDonald's down the street or something, right? Like, you know, you're there to own the McDonald's because not because you love, you know, Mickey D's necessarily, but you want to make money selling burgers. It's the same thing if you own a coin or if you're a validator or if you're a team or whatever. Yeah, you got to pay the bills. And I think a good thing to think about is that. And people with Chainlink in particular, like the FUD was always, oh, the team is selling tokens and therefore that keeps the price down. Otherwise, we would have been at this price versus that, right? But the thing is, like, if they weren't selling coins, well, first of all, the reason they have those team tokens is to sell them. Let's just be fair. Like, just the idea that somehow that's dumping is just simply nonsense. That's the entire intent of those tokens, to sell them. And to sell them at a market cap where, you know, it doesn't as much affect the price of the coin, ideally, because sufficient liquidity is available. And they may be selling some of their coin over the counter to like exchanges and stuff that run out of coins. So they don't make too much price impact. So that's a very common tactic among big teams that have to sell large coins their token. You don't just go on like Binance and just sell it. That's not how that works. So this happens and that's fine. And, but I think like the issue always is like, are they using those funds properly? And if you're the owner of a business, like, you know, as a Chainlink coin holder, you're owner of part of the business in a sense.
Yeah, you want to see them put the money back into the project.
You know? Are they putting it to good use? Are they wasting?
That's why
what
people get pissed off, like when like the CEOs of the companies start selling their, you know, their stock that they got allocated towards them through like their deal when they got hired with the company. Everyone gets all fucking pissed off, but it's like that's what it's there for, you know?
Yeah, but Sergey has like some like a lot more of the sort of OG crypto vibes, you know, because he's been around since practically the beginning. I'm using his first name as if I know the guy, like, you know, but whatever. But he's been around a long time, and he's clearly one of the most respected individuals in the space. And
I would say like the quietest. You never hear shit about him, you know?
Yeah, you don't hear anything bad about him, that's for sure. You don't hear stuff like, he's bought like 6 Lambos and they're sitting in his garage or whatever. And this is what he's doing with the, you know, the team funds or whatever, you know. And it's not to say that he couldn't, like, you know, he can buy whatever the fuck he wants with his coins. That's how this works. But at the same time, if you got a guy with a plaid shirt, he's not wearing like all sorts of fancy shit, you know, he dresses normally, he acts like he doesn't blow a bunch of money. You can expect that a person like that probably doesn't blow money and waste it in their operations either.
Now, if he was driving like a Toyota Corolla, I'd probably shoot up some red flags.
You think it's like an SBF LARPing type of thing?
I would say he's definitely having orgy office parties.
Yeah, yeah. Like I could buy expensive cars, but I had a piece of shit for a long time because I couldn't show off if I wanted to. I was just too fucking lazy to take care of a car. So I'm like, I don't want to buy something fancy because I don't keep washing the goddamn thing. Now I have a nice one. I have to keep washing the goddamn thing. It's actually a pain in the ass to me in some ways. Like, but I like it a lot. But the point is like, yeah, I'm not driving a Corolla because first off, number one, if you're a founder of a company, you want to be in a car that's going to save your life if you get in a crash, right? Like, holy shit. Like, you know, like the whole thing goes to shit if something happens to him. That's not good. So he, as far as I'm concerned, he should drive a tank, you know?
Yeah, bulletproof, something bulletproof.
Yeah, bulletproof tank. Especially in crypto, you probably should be bulletproofed, honestly. Like if I was him, I'd probably drive some sort of like medium level car, but the one you can buy like bulletproof windows and shit.
So what's going to be your Cephi's goal with Link right here in the short term? Are you holding? Are you going to sell? Like, what are you taking profits? Like, you want to know?
See, on the one hand, I'm like kind of divided them because like initially my initial goal was like, I bought some, I had some stuff I had to buy with the money and I was like, I'll buy it and I'll get a 3x around 21 bucks. And then it's going to go to 21 or 20 or so, like almost for sure. It's just a matter of waiting. And that was my thought back at the FTX crash time. It just took way longer than I thought. Like I had to wait 1.5 years. And I thought it would be like, 3 months or so, it's going to pump again or whatever. I didn't realize how much wreckage was in the crypto space and how much cash left the space. So like I became like a Link bag holder at that point for the last year and a half, which is fine. I knew it'd eventually come back.
We all
but yeah, so we're fine. But like my initial theory was like, okay, like let's just wait for 3x and sell it. But then like all this new information came out over the past, you know, month or so. I'm like, shit, like, you know, fumbling that bag makes no sense, right? Like, so that's why I went and picked up a few more highly speculative coins that have like a chance of having a pretty decent 10x. But one of them is just like proof of work in the form of Dogecoin, and like it'll probably 10x almost assuredly.
I know you get things towards ADA, but I made quite a bit of money off of ADA, dude. I was buying it like 3 cents and then went to $3 last bull market.
It's not that I don't hate it or anything. I don't really care. Like if it's DeFi stuff, like I'd rather like put my money into like supporting the community that I actually hang out with most. So I don't really have any connection to the Cardano community. So it's because if everything goes up, everything just goes up, right? Like, what do you give a shit? Like, but if you are specifically wanting a specific project to succeed or something, that might be a reason why you might support it. Like, not just because, so if you're activist investing a little bit, I do that a little. So yeah, would I have been better off if I had Cardano at the beginning of 2020? Sure. Like I would have done really, really well compared to other things. But it is what it is.
Well, right? Dude, you could have put your money in anything. I mean, money in all kinds of shit. And I made money off of every single one of them almost.
But to be fair, Cardano did perform better than most, right? So I would not have expected it.
Chilling off of FTM, Matic, ADA, Doge. I mean, just across the board, dude.
Yeah, like if I see that we're hitting, like, let's say Link 21 or something like that, and like I said before, like if it heads off to 31, the chart looks really, really pretty for like it's at a fib where it's like, okay, you know, if you, when you're hitting like a 7.18 fib, you're likely to hit all time high again. And then everyone sees a chart and go, okay, I'm in, right? Like that's where the FET chart is right now, for example. So you're going to have people hop in for the run up. You'll have people play on leverage at that price and whatever. So now the reason why that might not happen, like let's say, why would Chainlink not necessarily go much higher immediately, is that there's just not enough money in the market. Like that's possible, right? Like, because as the market cap gets bigger and bigger, more and more cash has to flow in. And is that money there?
We can just borrow more money, can we?
Yeah, we could. But Sam, but of course, like I'm saying, even with all the leverage and everything, is there enough?
No, I'm kidding.
And that's the thing. Like, and so, yeah, all inclusive. Like, is it possible? Maybe. That's my only reservation is like that. You know, my reservation is that, is there enough general money out there willing to flow into crypto at the right time? You know, but like I always repeat the idea that the BTC halvening is the number one most prominent meme in crypto. And like cash flows in related to that meme, no matter what. I don't give a fuck what you think about macroeconomics or whatever else, but it is one of the most strongest memes in all of like, I would say all of finance probably. Like, I mean, like what else do you think of that is that predictable, right? And that was by design and it creates this sort of cyclical behavior. So I think cash flow will come in from that. And I think there's a lot of people that will buy alts in that mix, you know, and it only has to be a small number of people putting money in alts, right, to make it pump. We've all been here. We know how that works. And the key is to not be too late, right? Like be early as possible.
I would feel bad telling people to buy Link right now. Like, I don't ever give financial advice anyway, but like,
yeah, I don't think it's bad now, but like,
I think it might end up in a situation where you're like, you know, if the market does take a downturn, you might be holding your back for a little bit, but I do believe it's going to go much higher, you know?
No, I would clarify that if I was telling anyone to get it today, like friends or family, like you should expect to double down if it dropped to like, you know, as the price drops, you escalate your buys as opposed to going all in. Because, and part of the reason for that is because there's a lot of other chains and coins that have simply not popped yet. And so there is an opportunity choice of like chasing something that's already up versus, you know, whatever. Like right now, like a lot of momentum traders are in the mix. But remember, like in a parabolic move, this is like only the first breakout. Like this is the breakout from $8 or whatever. And then we've only gone up like two fib levels. Or are we on the third one now? I think $16 is the next one actually. So I would suspect like resistance at 16 or so.
Is that something I can turn on, like an indicator on TradingView, the fibs?
You use the fib extension tool is what it's called. And I could show you how to use it, but like you would basically draw, pull up the chart real quick. You want to do it right now?
It's open. You already know it's been open all day.
It's the only thing you're looking at.
Dude, so, I was at work waiting for this guy to get liquidated. I'm like, why are you shorting Link? Like you're that convicted on it.
Yeah, it's weird. No, you just pull up the fib extension tool and which go to like maybe like the daily chart. And then you drag from the top of the price action, which was at 50, like 53 or whatever. And then you drag down to the very bottom of the swing, which was like at $4.50, something along those lines. And you'll notice that it'll create a rainbow of extensions.
And for the most part, it holds pretty true, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah. And so, if I were to use one tool only in TradingView, that would be the only one that matters in crypto, honestly. Like everything else is just like whatever.
I use the 14, 50, and 200, and those are always pretty accurate too. Like especially
for sure, yeah, absolutely. But simple moving at like 14, 50, 200 is a reasonable moving average just to kind of get an eyeball. Like because the thing is, like anytime you're like sizing up a coin, right? You're looking at it, you're going like, wait a minute, am I buying this now? This idiot on Twitter said get this thing. You're just sizing it up, and you just want to be able to pop the chart up. Have a chart that you have framed up, change the ticker, and you can actually just see the same indicators, but you just swap out to that coin. And then you go, okay, yeah, this one looks about right. You know, it's got the right characteristics. But it depends too. Like I tend to like stuff that's bottomed out, like completely wrecked. I'm not buying stuff as much when it's on the way up, right? So that's a different thing.
Like, I can almost guarantee you, dude, like, if you go look at the four-hour chart for Link and you pull up the 50 and the 200, wherever that golden cross was, I guarantee you that's where it fucking took off at.
Yeah, well, the golden cross happens after it takes off, so it's already up a bit.
Yeah, so it'll start moving its way up.
Yeah,
by the time cross happens, right where those two points start crossing, like, you can have fake outs too. Like, next couple of days, it might go back underneath it. But, like, usually yeah. I'll look for those indicators on the 4-hour chart. And, you know, if it is a true breakout and you catch it right there, dude, you'll make some pretty good returns.
A common thing in crypto is, like, this 50-day moving average breakout happens. It fakes out like a couple of times. That's very common, right? Like, it happened with Link already over the last year and a half. So you'll have these things where, like, the moving averages look like they're, like, headed up, but remember, they're not predictive, they're just an approximation, and definitely you get fake out. So that's the problem with, like, so there's some algorithmic trading platforms where you can, like, use your moving averages as a trigger to buy and sell. They don't work. Like, they're just too late to make
it. Yeah, you gotta look at all that shit though. Like, RSI, you need to see if it's overbought, oversold when you're getting close to those price points and your FIB levels and you know, support and resistance. And
even,
dude, I look at, like, probably 10 key indicators. And if they all, you know, if I get 7 out of 10, I might FOMO into it, you know?
Yeah, like, you're going for, like, the confluence of indicators idea where, like, everything's sort of pointing in the right direction, which is fair. But remember, that's only going to work if something's in positive momentum. That will not help you catch the bottom. This is why
you Yeah, because, I mean, I traded stocks my whole life, but I know crypto's different. It'll just fucking move for no reason. But
crypto's different, and this is the reason why, Matt, because it doesn't trade on fundamentals. Like, people aren't going like, oh, Ethereum has this much revenue, that's why it's worth this much.
No, it's like, where's the money moving to, you know?
Yeah, it's a pure speculative trade, which is why it's more psychologic, which is why the FIB extension stuff is more straightforward. So I think if I had to pick a thing that I can only use only one thing, it'd be the FIB extensions. That's it. Candle shapes, candle colors, all this other stuff is bullshit mostly. The volume profile,
I don't fuck with all that.
Is helpful in, like, at least managing where people are going to tend to put stop losses. And then you just have to, like, assume that, like, on the volume profile, the price will drop like 20% lower than the biggest band, something like that. That's very, very common over the last 3-4 years. That's all you don't need to know very much. It's just stupid shit. Like, all the other stuff is just not predictive enough. So what you're doing is, so, like, if you're trying to figure out where the bottom of Link was, like, you're like, where am I going to buy the bottom? What you would have done is you'd have taken the Link price in, you know, the beginning of the bull market, and you'd draw a FIB extension all the way to the very top of the chart, like, you know, to $53. And then you'd do a FIB retracement. And the retracement lines, you go, okay, I'm going to buy a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, whatever. But in crypto, you almost don't even have to bother buying on the way down until shit is, like, down like 80%, especially 80%. Bull markets. Yeah, 80 or even 90, depending if the bull market's sort of over. Like, once you drop below, like, okay, so how do you know the bull market's over? You usually know because, like, price dip below, like, the retrace is like more than 50%.
You'll have 10 people in that space.
Yeah, then you have 10 people in the space. Everyone's wrecked. But yeah, like a 40, like in stock markets, like a 30 or 40% retracement would be pretty normal. Something like BTC, like 40 to 50% would be pretty normal, even on an uptrend as a retrace. But like in alts, you could have more volatility. You can go even like 50+% retraces. Yeah, even 75% retraces you can definitely have in altcoins. So you can just basically be just real patient, essentially. So like what you could do, even on Chainlink as an example, you could wait till it pumps to wherever it goes, then wait till it dumps about, you know, I don't know, like whatever. But you know, the problem is you'll miss out a lot of the up move. But on the next big like pullback, look at Chainlink's chart, for God's sake. Like just go back to it. Like 50% volatility on the Link chart is like just normal. Like that's just like your bag dropping 50% is like can happen any month, right? That's normal. So you just have to be aware that that's normal and then figure out like, are you going to get more? You can just hold your bag. What are you doing with it? But one thing you should not do is sell low. That's just idiotic.
Like, you know,
if you're still in selling low in crypto, you're a complete newbie.
Yeah,
you don't deserve to be here. Like, yeah,
we're talking about you, Texas blockchain.
Texas blockchain, yeah, shorting LinkIt. What an idiotic plan that was.
Borrowing Link and then swapping into ETH and USDC, and then he's been getting burnt.
Some people get lucky trading; they make a bunch of money and then they just lose it all.
I looked back at his early history, and he turned like a $20,000 portfolio to like maybe a couple mil during last bull run, but I don't think he was successful because then it kind of went down again. But yeah,
I don't know how people get so stupid sometimes. But yeah, like mid market, I don't know. I don't feel very good about like giving people. Like people ask, oh, should I buy here or whatever? I'm like, I don't know. Like Bruce said the same thing. Like you feel very like uncomfortable providing any kind of like even little bit of advice when you're mid-market. Cause like, you know that a lot of people, they can't tolerate the downtrend. So even if I bought mid-market and the price of my coin goes by down 50%, like I've allocated properly. Like I'm not worried about it. I'm not like losing any sleep over the fact that it's gone down. But like you know how people are, they'll go and like
no, of course they start texting and shit.
Yeah, they'll go all in. Yeah,
and they're panicking on themselves.
That's why we show the people online we don't know.
Yes, exactly. You feel okay with.
Can people really handle their? Go ahead, Sam.
That's good. You feel okay eventually to people you don't know. That's funny. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
Hey guys, is Link a good coin?
No.
Well, it depends what you mean. What do you mean when you say it's a good coin? I don't understand your question.
Oh, the nerds come out. Yeah.
Well, what do you mean when you say good coin? I reject the premise what of the do you question. Mean?
The premise
is that's Jordan really good. Fucking Peterson.
That's really good. QT.
Well, what do you mean? That sounds like what do you mean? Peterson. I said Jordan Peterson. I don't think anybody's asking the real question here. What's the real question? The real question is Link a good coin?
That's phenomenal. I love it.
What's your HRV today, Coach?
Let me check.
I feel like you guys are leaving me behind because I haven't shipped mine yet or whatever. I'm still waiting for it.
It's like being at school and you don't have like the Beyblade or the Pokemon card or like whatever the cool fashionable thing is at the time. You know, you don't have the cool toy.
Beyblade?
Yeah, you know, spinning tops.
Beyblade.
Yeah, let it rip. Everyone had them until they got banned because people were firing spinning tops at each other. And it's like, okay, we need to ban this immediately. This is not a good idea for children. My HRV is 85 today, which confirms my theory of being completely marginally just above average in everything I do. And not excelling.
Yeah. No, I think we're still early. See, we only had like Link is pumping we only have like 50 people in here, even though. So this is definitely super early. Unless Twitter is no longer a barometer for this sort of thing. Like, do people use Twitter anymore? I don't even know. Maybe they
I bet you, people also work. It's like,
yeah, I was going to say, I bet you as the evening goes, we're going to get a crowd because I bet you a lot of people who are working right now might not even realize that the price is going vertical. So this evening. I did see that Jordan Peterson was on the call. So.
Well, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean?
Yo, bro, I can't tell if it's AI or his voice.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. I'm here all day. I'm doing accents. I'm doing impressions. But when the people with their jobs...
Can you do Sam?
Sam. Oh, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Not Bankman-Fried. Samuel, as in the Link Marine Sam.
No, I've never listened to him. Oh, wait, he sounds like this. Hang on. Hello, my name is Sam, and I'm the co-founder of Link. I'm here to tell you all about Link and the powerful Link connection, and I'm going to demonstrate it using this cucumber. So I'm here with this cucumber, and I'm going to cover it in Vaseline. I'm cycling around in the middle of town. People are looking at me.
Good God, bro. That's good.
Luckily, I'm in France, so no one understands a damn thing I'm saying.
Do it for the culture.
Yeah.
You sound like the town drunk, probably. I was talking about freaking Samuel Alpha, the one that you're always in the space with.
I don't know who that is.
He's the meme contest fella.
No, he's trolling me so hard right now. I'm fucked.
No idea. No, never heard of this guy. What I'm going to tell you is that when the people who are working leave work and come and see the price, they should all leave their jobs because the bull market started. And that means that you can leave your job, tell your boss, turn around, like see the link price hits 20, hits 25, 30, $40. Tell your boss, it's over. I didn't need you. I never left you. I'm burning this bridge.
You know, there's another way you know when to sell. You know what that is? It's like when the women of Web3 show up.
That's how
you know we're fucked.
Yeah.
My boss asked about the Bitcoin price today. So I know we're early because he has no clue what Chainlink is. So
yes,
we are early.
Yes. That's worrying.
I'm still at the wage cage, by the way. I'm dipping out of here in a minute.
Yeah, get out.
There's a lot of guys that get ripped in crypto, but I would tell you like the girls show up really late. So like 99.9% of the girls probably lost money almost surely, right?
Good. I fucking hate them. Worthless piece of shit.
I feel like there's something we need to talk through here. I feel like this is a real good moment to, now that you've exposed that and sort of that's a cry for help. I see there's a cry for help. And it's time to get into some therapy.
Discriminatory?
No, because they just want to use me for my fucking crypto and then they don't talk to me again after we go on one date. One second.
Take a moment to compose yourself.
But yeah, poor girls, all they can do is feel the vibe, and they come when the vibe is strongest, which is the top.
Wasn't there a nice picture of like the ladies Bitcoin investment club? And they were all sitting together like, oh, we're ladies and we're going to invest in Bitcoin. And they were all together and they'd had champagne and they were like, hooray. And that photo was taken on the Pico top, the absolute very, very top of the Bitcoin market.
Girls are just these wonderfully sensitive, delicate, fragile mirrors. And when men are having most fun, that is when they are enticed into somewhere. Like the amount of fun overcomes the nerdiness and freakery and jargon and all that stuff. And that amount of fun comes right at the absolute peak when we're absolutely at the top and everyone is celebrating and dancing. And for a little while, they let go of their inner nerdiness and they just like can enjoy themselves at last. And that's when the women turn up. They're like, well, this looks great here. This could be really fun to... And then suddenly the whole thing fucking explodes.
Yeah,
you're right, Steffi. Like, I think all of the women who've been involved in crypto have just like got wrecked.
Yeah.
Luckily, I think we're a ways from the top here. At least, you know, in regards to the price of Link here, we're not even back to $25 stablecoin territory. And then you look at the great,
but as
the great scale,
as you can see, there's almost no girls though.
Exactly. Yeah. Early. And then you add the 200% grayscale premium onto that, and then staking version 2 on the horizon before year end. There's a lot of buy pressure out there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see all time highs pretty soon.
Go ahead. You're good.
Oh, I was just going to say, what about percentage of girls in space as a metric for when you sell?
That seems like an easy one.
5%.
You know, it's another interesting thing, guys. Like, if you noticed, some of the sort of like crypto women turned out to be some of the biggest grifters too. Like, maybe
true.
Like, you can use your boobs or something, and you know whatever else, and you know, like you can sell a coin or something.
Quite like a girl Junko.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them. Like, what's that?
We can just move on from the topic. We don't have to like. Talk about it too long. We can talk about it for a couple more minutes, maybe.
It's just an observation. It's interesting how like the guys are supposed to be all the grifters, but it turns out a lot of the girls are too. It's interesting. Sex sells, you know.
Yeah, next time round it'll just be AI women generated and their personalities and pictures are all generated. honestly, that's what I should be doing. I shouldn't be Trader QT. I should be like some sort of a weird AI-generated woman who has like a third eye or like something really obviously wrong. Well, I don't know.
I'm going to have so much fun when I can just be a girl in a space and get like live audio translation into girl voice. I'm going to have so much fucking fun. And we're going to have double the fun, Trader QT, because not only will you be able to hear yourself speaking normally in the space, but you'll get the recording afterwards and you'll just be a full girl. So fucking funny to listen
back
to.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Right? Because you wouldn't want to hear it at the time because it'd be really just strange and annoying and confusing to have two audio streams, like your own voice and somebody else's. But afterwards, it'll be so funny to listen back to. And it will be like you're speaking as a guy, but other guys are responding to you as if you're a girl in real time, which will make no sense to you psychologically. It'll be really fucking weird. Like, this was trying to speak. Like, imagine I'm just speaking normally, and then guys are like trying to flirt with me and trying to seek my approval and stuff.
That happens anyway.
And like being really sort of strange, like on a moment to moment way. And it's almost like they're, I don't know, it just like feels like they have some kind of gay love for me when I'm speaking. But really, it's because my voice has been converted in real time to like some really hot girl voice.
Interestingly, like back when visual avatars, like cartoon characters in video games showed up where you're like playing a guy or girl or whatever, you could play whichever one you wanted. So like in a role-playing game, like a World of Warcraft or one of these things, right? Like if you want a girl character, you could do so. And in the beginning, like a lot of people would play the girl character just because like the guys want to group up with the girl character so you can find a group quicker, right? Like it's kind of, but it was like common knowledge that like 99% of guys on the internet were guys on the internet, and almost every one of these so-called girls was a mangina.
Oh, it's going to be so funny. There are going to be so many men being women, but like most of them are going to be really bad at it. It's going to be like the good actors that are awesome.
They're going to be in your DMs too, asking for your linkies. Because they're already in my DMs asking for my linkies. But I know that there's a penis behind that screen.
Oh, there's little like scammers and stuff. Like you didn't close your DMs, huh?
I don't think I did. I need to get in there. Clear that shit up.
You're enjoying this like too much? Is that
what? Honestly, there's some unconscious belief that I have. It's like, damn. Like there's all these like hot Asian girls that want my linkies in here. I swear they're real, though. Some delusional world that I'm living in.
Well, it's fine to believe it's real, you know? Like, it's a better world.
It is a better world. You know what? I'm going to buy a VR headset tonight, and I'm just going to create my own reality.
It's going to get to a point, like, for your safety and, like, for your family's safety, like, you can't tell anyone that you own Chainlink because you will be sought after. Like, I'm not even kidding. Even us doing these spaces right now, it's getting documented, and you guys got to be really careful in the future. You might have to change your name. Even owning one single chain link.
I think I might be the only goof in this entire fucking spaces that has my legitimate name in here. So you guys can sing whatever song.
What are you talking about?
For my funeral. No,
this is my real name.
I'm not the stinkiest.
Oh, you know what, Sir Stinky? I fucking knew that was your legitimate name. I see Matt. I see Jordan Peterson. Maybe I'm good, guys.
OX. You can't forget about OX, coach.
OX. Fucking A. OX. Shout out to OX.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I got it. Replicating that's going to be difficult.
That's fucking awesome.
Hey, you know what I else got a I'm question. Interested in?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you know what I'm interested in, Seffy, is HRV as a peak detection method of when to sell. I have a friend who
got a week. Like based on how your HRV is doing personally or like the group?
Both. But like you can imagine you had a trader group or something, and maybe 30 people had Whoop monitors, and they all basically peaked on average, like monthly average or something. Peaked out, and then maybe HRV starts going down the next month or something. Probably that'd be a good time to sell. I have a friend who's got a Whoop, and he said that I was like, what's your HRV? What's your highest one? What's your lowest one and stuff? Just having a conversation about stats. And he said his highest ever HRV was he realized that his portfolio for the first time in his life went over seven figures. He became a millionaire. And he felt like some fundamental relaxation happened in his body. And he just felt so relaxed and at peace, like he'd finally fucking made it. And he woke up the next day and he had his peak HRV, which is like 100. His usual is like 40 or something. But he got 100 the day after he became a millionaire. And this was like 2 months before the Luna crash, and then he lost it all again. So that was kind of a funny story and interesting.
He lost it all?
It's like, yeah. It's sort of similar to the law of screenshot. It's like an inner screenshot, if you like. The law of screenshot is like this idea that when you feel like sharing a screenshot with friends or family or with Twitter, that's exactly when you should take profit.
100%. That's when I got liquidated every fucking time.
Yeah, there's also an inner screenshot, and it's like when your nervous system relaxes. Ah, I fucking made it. I made it. That's it. Seven figures, baby. Ah, and then your HRV spikes. That's when you should sell, based on the whoop.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's also an element of, you know how, like, you know these little like fib charts and stuff that I post, it's quite possible to get so convinced that you're going to hit a certain level that it doesn't go there, but you're just sitting waiting, it just never gets there, right? Like, that's a possibility too.
Hey,
so it's like, no, go ahead.
No, this one coin's pumping that's associated with Chainlink. That's SDL. I think it's that stake Chainlink. They rebranded their name, but it's up 28% in the day, just to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's, I think, I wonder how much that Grayscale one's going to pump. That's just weird.
Do we see a $100 Grayscale trust?
That would be so weird, right?
That would be fucking weird. I'm seeing a lot of, because I've been sharing some of those photos just because I want to get some opinion on it. I'm seeing a lot of people say that, you know, that's institutions' way of being able to get exposure to Link, but I'm also seeing, because the volume is so low, that people are riding it up and then it's going to collapse, that they've seen the same thing happen with other coins in the past. So I'm just going to keep sharing it because I appreciate everyone's opinion on it so far. I truly don't know.
It'll definitely crash. That's for sure.
Yeah.
There's no reason why it won't, but it's like, how much, like, how irrational does it get before that happens? It's got to be retail though, man. It's like, institutions aren't buying no damn $50 Link at this, like, whatever. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, like, there's probably not enough of it, and then it just got, like, it's just being bid up just on demand. And probably a lot of people that buy it have no idea why it's worth what it is. I'll bet you people are buying small amounts or whatever. They don't know what it is. They just saw it go up, and they don't realize that, the value of that's supposed to represent the underlying value of Link itself, and then it's heavily, heavily overvalued. But I'm just curious, like, is there a predictive effect, like an arbitrage type thing, where there are people that are running that thing up and they're going to sell it, and then they're going to go buy the real token? Or, like, is it a bellwether for, like, the price action of the actual coin? That'd be interesting, right? Like, so then Link just runs to 50. It's quite possible. Like, previous highs, like, there's a tendency when things run, they just go straight up, like straight vertical. So I feel like I should be waiting like a year or something. Like, when people say, well, how long is Link going to take to go to whatever? I'm like, maybe a year, year and a half, whatever, 2 years. But on the other hand, it's like, we've seen these things run up like crazy too, real fast. So I don't know.
Do we think we see a lot of resistance around the $25 to $30 area? How awesome would it be if we got up to the $25 area 30? And then the Bitcoin ETF gets approved?
The FIB levels. Yeah, the FIB levels are 21 and 31, by the way. So it's like, those are the places you'd expect it. Like 21, if you're bearish, 31 target would be a very bullish feature to me. Just like if you look at the chart pattern after it's all said and done, you go, oh, look, it went to 31. It's not that high from that. It's not that far from all time high. If it goes to 31, drops to 21, then it's heading to 50 next, almost assuredly. Does that make sense? Like, but if it goes to like 21, and it doesn't extend that far, and then it drops back down to say 12, that's not nearly as bullish for like hitting all time high soon. Right. So that would make me more nervous.
Watch, it'll go to 21 or 20 bucks and then the ETF will get approved and we'll just fucking rocket launch. They all, you know what, this whole ETF approval has just been based around the LINK price, guys. Just like every fucking dump there's ever been with Chainlink. It's always been around a bunch of garbage. Chainlink pumps, Bitcoin dumps. Guess what? We're going to send it. Once Chainlink gets to 20, they're like, fuck it now, hit the approve button.
Yeah, it's all premeditated, my man.
I could have swore that World War III was going to start just to suppress the price of LINK.
Yeah, that's assuredly that's Hamas's motivation. Because they're into crypto, apparently.
Exactly.
They have that's that short position on that got liquidated.
That's what I figured. Yeah, they're down.
Yeah, we are demonetizing terrorists as we speak just by buying the coin.
Hamas are using Chainlink to send messages to each other without the Israeli Defense Force detecting them. Chainlink is Hamas's favorite blockchain technology.
Someone's got to do like AI renditions of crypto Hamas, right? Like with like, you know, short positions and then they're crying because like, you know, LINK's price is going up or something. Like, I'm sure that shit would go viral. No one's done that yet.
Yeah,
like,
there's a Taliban. Terrorism. Oh, there's Al-Qaeda public relations department Twitter page that didn't get banned. And it's like tweeting stupid stuff all the time. Like, so I think you could probably do the same. It's probably a little bit spicy at the moment specifically because it's like happening now. But like give it a few months and you could probably run that and not get banned, in my humble opinion.
So do we have more information on just the, the Hong Kong information that's supposed to drop this Friday? I've seen it on my timeline, but I haven't really done like the in-depth research on it, unfortunately. And that's my bad, but I figured this would be a good opportunity if we haven't touched on it, just to get a little more information about what's going down there.
It's the first time I've heard about Hong Kong. Can you tell me more about this?
What's the word? I'm driving right now, but I'm pretty sure. Isn't there some sort of partnership or something going on in Hong Kong
between
some
China?
Hackathon happening.
China is finally taking Hong Kong for good. Is that what you're telling us? Is that coming?
That's exactly right.
Are we going to take everyone wearing the umbrellas, and what was the thing? What was the Hong Kong resistance symbol? It was umbrellas, wasn't it? Yeah, they're going to take them all, and they'll have no umbrellas left, and there'll be no one left to fight. And Hong Kong will be subsumed by China once and for all on all the global maps. Is that what is coming this Friday?
That's absolutely what's coming this Friday. Attend it.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Jazz, what you up to today, man? Just enjoying your bags going up or doing something? How do you say your name, by the way? Jasm? Jasma? Jazz? I'm not really sure.
Jasm, this is your father. Come to the spaces right now.
He disappeared somewhere for a minute.
Maybe he was the one that got liquidated.
Oh, he's just hanging out here and figuring out where.
Well, he's a husband dad. So it could be that he's looking after his wife or his children or both. So we'll cut him the benefit of the doubt for now. I don't know what I would do if my dad had that profile picture. I don't know what I would think of him if he was like a green frog who was buying Chainlink and a gamer. I think I would think very differently of my father if that's what he was doing.
Question.
Yeah.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any W Luna?
You can't talk about that. You're not allowed to talk about that. We've been paid. You know the deal.
Any price predictions?
One Luna. I had one wrap Luna equals one Luna. Spread the word.
I have 1,000 end of year. 81,000 end of year.
I think, did you see Pantera tweeted earlier about Rap Luna and how he's been paid to hush and not to talk about it anymore? I think he should do that more. I think that's funny. Can you tell him for me?
Yep. We do need to campaign, though, because it's been, like, how long now since they haven't got conversion yet? Like 18 months.
Yeah, in May 2022.
It's time for one-to-one conversion.
It's time to activate the code, the one simple trick. One simple trick. And it's all convertible. The whole lot. Send it all to zero.
Okay, Bruce. What are the charts are worth throwing money at here right now? Have you seen anything else?
I have a trade idea. Can I share my trade idea? I'm going
to
share it.
We have to ask permission these days.
I'm going to share my trade idea. Okay. So Aptos ran up a lot. Now they're going to get all their unlocks, and the team are probably filthy, disgusting capitalists who have no regard for human life. And they're going to dump the fuck out of their team tokens. So short Aptos, and simultaneously play the rotation. What are they going to do? They're going to buy Sui because Sui is now ready. So Aptos goes down, Sui goes up. So short that disgusting pile of VC shit, and then long a different disgusting pile of VC shit with reprehensible teams, and then sell Sui when it's pumped to all-time highs. And that's a nice trade.
Do you think like there's anything in like the sub 500 mil market cap range that deserves to be like, you know, in the like 5 billion club or whatever?
I think it all deserves to be zero. But well, hey, did you see what was that? Like a yield aggregate, Prisma. Do you see Prisma on ETH mainnet? So Justin Sun and Tetranode put in like $800 million into this thing. And everyone's been selling it. It was a big airdrop and they all sold it off. And that's going to be the next like DeFi Ponzu for the next bull run, allegedly. The same way that Curve and Convex was a DeFi Ponzu in the last bull run. So like, watch that one, Prisma.
Prisma the Ponzu. And I probably don't want to know what it does either, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, some bullshit. Like, you know, you take your ETH, liquid state ETH, and you do something with it, and then you shoot the yield somewhere. I have no idea. Doesn't matter. Tetranode and Justin Sun aped in hundreds of millions of dollars in TVL. That's all you need to know. It's going to be the next, like, stupid thing.
There's a funny one. I don't know if this is the same one. It's called Prisma, and it has like a little prism with a rainbow coming yep. out of it. It's on like it. CoinMarketCap, and it's like 0.87 cents. And this thing is like a 2 million market cap with a fully diluted valuation of 262 million market cap. That's the funniest
That's
shit.
That's it.
Who owns all the extra tokens?
I have no idea. Tetranode, probably.
Total supply 300 million max supply, and like 99.999% of it is owned by the actual.
There is like 10 mil or something. I could look it up. I was speaking to a guy who was one of the founding members of Binance Smart Chain the other day, and he was giving me the download, and I half listened. And this was one of the ones he was like, "Pack your bags, boys, pack your bags."
It's like 1,655 in rank. That's amazingly.
Yeah, make sure it's the right one. I mean, like, yeah, make sure
it's probably. It's probably not.
It's like probably not. It's like I can't remember the.
How do you
P R I S M A? But if you look up the Twitter, let me find the Twitter 1 second. Prisma Finance, and they got a page called Prisma Risk Team, and they actually do really good fucking research as well. And let me share this shit in the link chat. There you go. This is the one.
And so you went all in on this thing, or what? Like
thinking about it.
You're gonna sell it, like sell a kidney and go.
Well, I've still got loads of dry powder to shoot, and still underexposed to the industry I spend 24/7 looking and thinking about, looking at and thinking about. So yeah, thinking about this one as a potential ETHI sort of like, you know, bet on these guys to do some stupid shit, like some DeFi stuff. You turn it into some sort of a game or some sort of foundation for additional Ponzi's to be built, you know. So that's one play. What else? I mean, honestly, Solana is going to be fine. You know, that's going to be fine going into the next four runs. Like, why not? I mean, it's pumped pretty hard already, but hey, that's the game.
Ape coins at $1.50. That's funny.
Yeah, and to the person who DM'd me, yeah, I am kind of serious. I don't know if I'm going to buy it or not, but this is legit. They got pumped by Tetranode and Justin Sun.
Pepe's ranked 91. It's like 500 mil market cap. Do you think this is like the next Shiba Inu type of situation? The
thing is with Pepe, that if you're playing meme coins, you should play the meme coins that most people know about. You should play Doge and the top one, Shib and whatever. Like Pepe is like a little bit too niche still for like if the masses do come back and like ape in just something stupid, they're gonna ape into the ones they know. They're not gonna ape into Pepe, probably, is my best guess. I think the masses are
mostly wrecked and broke, honestly.
Well, you've forgotten about the little thing called the Nation of India, Sefi. They haven't been wrecked yet, as far as I'm aware. All of my reports are telling me the puck is going to India because everyone's like, oh yeah, 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 go to Turkey, yeah, yeah, go to Vietnam. Like, it's like, no, they've been wrecked already. Go to the places that haven't been wrecked. And the Nation of India is billions of people now. And they haven't, their untapped potential, untapped people who haven't learned the scam yet. And so now they can come in and they can get involved.
But can you buy crypto in India very easily?
Hopefully more and more easily. As time goes by, more of them get mobile phones and laptops and it gets more and more. Like, yeah, that's where you want to be looking. That's where you want to be focusing your advertising efforts. By the way,
whatever happened to this Chainlink competitor API3? It's one of these Oracle type things, like Band. It hasn't moved at all, like Chainlink has.
The only other Oracle that has funnily enough, like Kith. You know, they did like their airdrop the other day. They've got like three guys. Well, maybe I think they hired two more. They've got like five guys on their growth team. And, you know, they're obviously like the jump kind of like project. Are they worth looking at? I mean, a lot of high performance chains do use them. They seem to be easier to like integrate with, a bit more loosey goosey. But
compared to what?
Chainlink, yeah. But at the same time, they're launching a token and we're going to see how it does. I expect not very well. I don't think they're going to get anything like the kind of meme army that Chainlink has. I don't think they're going to get like even close to that. Like they wish, right? It's just not going to happen. So I think for that reason.
Who the fuck is playing music? Y'all hear that?
I'm in a Burger King. That's why.
Sounds like a pretty hip
Burger King. Oh, yeah. They're cool down here in France. They got all kinds of fun, happy music in this Burger King, which is full of depressed people.
I feel like there should be a dance floor with like a, you know, disco ball hanging down in the lobby.
There certainly should be.
Hey, you know, what we need to know is from the Terra team, we need to kind of get like a little early notification when we discover that the dough is out of the box, out of the prison.
11 days.
Is there an actual date?
Yeah, 11 days.
Like a little countdown clock?
Should we I've literally been tweeting it every day.
Should we be going heavy Luna now is the question, like in anticipation of the
heavy long
Doquan recurrence.
Yeah, TFL fucked him over while he was in prison. He's coming back to Lunk.
Oh, you think so? He's heading to Lunk. Wow.
Yes. Depending on SEC, we'll see.
Bruce, do you think Doe still has plenty of funds in the background? Bruce,
I'm just writing a W Luna tweet. What?
You think Doe is still plenty rich?
Doe is extremely rich. I know that for a fact.
Like at what level?
Don't forget, TFL threw $500 million at the repeg attempt and just basically threw it away for nothing. And when the DPEG was happening, I was speaking directly to three people on LFG, right? So, I'm not going to say who. And I knew the financial situation. And the financial situation was that they had billions more to throw at it through their collective resources. Except that throwing billions already did nothing. So they decided to cut the losses and instead invest in something new, right? To keep the treasury, as opposed to just throw it down the gutter. I think
What was the treasury in the form of, though?
TFL's runway and also Doe's personal funds and everything that he was willing to throw. But it was a fuckload. Like, they have a fuckload. That's the long story short. And also, speaking to TFL, like, recently and stuff. Not recently, like, a few months back. I was told by a few people they have, quote, infinite runway.
So the teams are getting paid, no problems then.
Like, Luna is an interesting bet because it's the most well-funded organization in crypto, basically. And money talks, and most teams are struggling, whereas they are not.
Yeah, you're making me want to go buy some more Luna now.
Well, I mean, you can certainly throw some money around to create a big pump, and then you can have the realization that price itself is marketing, right? And you can create that. You can create a bigger pump than the cost of the pump, so long as you have the money, and they have the money. So it's probably interesting around now to end of the year, I would say.
I think as long as you're comfortable with like maybe like a 50% or even 70% drawdown from here, and you're comfortable writing that out, it should be fine.
I think it's fairly done. I think basically Luna bottomed is something like 0.4, 40 cents. And I think the reason is, there are many reasons. I think one of the reasons is that because people are creditors, essentially, right? They see it as like, this is like my claim. This is my claim, and I got wrecked, and I'm not going to sell it. Like, why? If it's been $100 before, I'm not going to sell it at 0.4. I'm going to leave it for 5 years as like a side bet that maybe Dokkan gets out and maybe they make it back. And like, why would I sell? Like, what's the point? I'm going to take my 0.5% profit or something. And then a huge realm of people have just forgotten.
I haven't been messing with mine.
You're right. I haven't either. So I had like many, many millions at peak value. And now it's what? Like, I don't know, like 30,000 or something. It's nothing. Right. So why am I like.
I got airdropped a chunk like one way or the other. So, but it's vesting and I'm not messing with it. I'm just leaving it alone.
So this is not something I'm thinking about selling in the short term. And neither is anybody else who's a big.
Seffy.
And also
Seffy was on the multi sigs. He got a huge stack of Luna. He had 1 billion.
2 million. He got the Jimmy airdrop. He got
Jimmy airdrop. Where is that guy?
I got roped into having to like deliver all the community funds to the grifters. Remember that?
Like, oh, that was awful.
I had to do that multi-sig. That was like, I had to do a whole bunch of fucking meetings and like,
whatever. No, you volunteered.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Just be active volunteering.
Yeah.
You volunteered.
Yeah, I remember.
And then half of them just ran away without doing anything.
They're like, hey, do you want to do this? And I'm like, okay.
The fucking craziest thing I remember, like someone came to me who's in the know and said, oh, I was talking to TFL and they're talking to the Nexus protocol team, like Tundra, like to give him like them like sort of like keys to the blockchain to like continue running it or something. And I was like, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. They're like, no, it's real. Like, this is what they want to do. I was like, okay, I want no part in this. I don't think we should go anywhere near this thing. Like, wash our hands. It's like, shall we apply for the funding, you know, to get some funding? I was like, no, we're not touching that shit. We're not going anywhere near
being,
it.
Being part of a crypt, being part of a like, you know, crypto community, like organizer, whatever the fuck that is very similar to like working for like a local, like homeowners association. Like it's interesting for maybe a year the first time you do it. And you're like, wait a minute, like the next year, you're like, do I really care about which company mows the lawn for the neighborhood? You know, like it just gets boring after a while. And then there's like certain people that are like built to do that kind of thing. They don't get like, they're consistent. They're not worried about like whether it's fun or not. And that's type of people that need to be doing that background shit.
Yeah. What was the main learning from the community pool handouts? Like did any, I don't think, and I didn't expect anything particularly to come for it, but like, did any team sort of use that funding to do something interesting or like
the
build?
I know the rule with that was basically the teams that delivered stuff and fulfilled their obligations immediately deployed it on four other chains.
Right.
or migrate, right. Or build it on Terra, then migrated elsewhere.
Mars, the rest, TFM did it. Yeah.
The rest took it as a form of compensation for losses.
So there's an interesting protocol. Neptune Finance took money from TFL, and then they went and fucking built on Injective and aren't even... Comment. Didn't even build their shit on Luna.
Let's get him. Let's go get him. Let's go physically attack them.
But when Doe set aside this money, though, it was quite clear that some fraction of people are going to fucking run away with the money. That was a given. The hardest thing to do in the world is give away money and expect it to be used like in some meaningful way. Like, you know, I think the expectation was maybe like 20% would be used for something.
It was a way to retain the interest of developers and builders. However, a majority of them were very emotional and treated it as compensation. Some fulfilled the obligations, but that's mainly because they were going to do the work anyway. And with a Cosmos chain, you can just deploy it elsewhere.
Right. No, I would say like the most prominent work that came out of that money was probably TFM stuff. Terraformer is just really built cool shit. Far as like Dex Aggregator or whatever, really good.
Yeah, they actually built one of the most useful projects across any Cosmos team, honestly.
Yeah, across any team. Yeah, they're quite good.
Yeah.
So between the Kujira folks and the TFM folks, that's impressive work.
Yeah. Both. Yeah, I would agree. I like the
Kujira. Bruce, do you still have your original Kujira? Did you guys buy some at the very beginning? Like on Luna, did you guys buy Kujira?
I have one Kujira.
One? Like one coin?
I just bought it now, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Sumo bought like a whole shit ton of Kujira tokens.
Well, no one can claim to have more Kujira in this chat than me because I bought into their private sale. And that was a really good bet. And I didn't expect them to actually like pull through and like airdrop on their new blockchain. So I don't have any Kujira anymore, but like hats off, like fair play. Like that's some good shit, you know, integrity, which is nice. So
yeah, you were talking about Doe's, wasn't Doe like a original backer of Kujira? And so obviously we know he hasn't, you know, sold in the last little bit, so I'd imagine he's still
Doe backed a fair number of the early projects on Terra.
The money, yeah, because that was the main thing. Because I went through like some weird like syndicate-y sort of like cap something capital, I can't remember, and the main contention point was I was like, oh well, they're helping build Anchor because they're in the liquidation queue, and they were like, no, they're just doing a UI for Anchor. So that was the big contention point of whether they were really building out proper stuff for Anchor Protocol or not. And it turns out they were, which means they were working pretty closely with TFL. I don't know if I guess Doe invested, I don't know. Like, but most of their cap table was garbage. Like most of the original private investors in Kujira are really bad ones. That's one of the big, like, I think Dove would admit that as well. Like his original private investment round was with like the wrong people, just like really predatory, horrible, disgusting VCs. And me.
You mean like for Terra or you mean
for Kujira?
like their original cap table was like all these disgust stupid, like, actually ironically CryptoMan ran and Banter Capital are one of the ones who didn't sell that I know. It's really interesting. So I know I've been told that they're still holding their tokens, like, I think even now. So fair play. Again, like the opposite of what you'd expect. Sorry.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know how much Kujira have. I don't have a lot. But if it continues to rise, it'll be worth quite a lot. Like, it's not, it depends on how much of a gain it makes. I don't know, like, how much potential it has, but user interface for Kujira is fantastic. It always has been and still is.
Yeah, they probably realize quite soon that 90% of projects and teams in crypto are dog shit. So build it yourself. Best to build it yourself.
Yeah, and there's only so many projects that have great front ends too. I guess front end design or web interface design is not like, a lot of these nerds don't have really good like gamification of their front end at all. Like Kujira is like pleasant to use in terms of visuals, right?
Oh yeah, that's definitely true. But yeah, Kujira, good coin, good team. So
good scam.
Yeah, of all the scams, that's a good one.
Is there any since you guys seem to be a little bit more plugged in, any updates on like what the fuck Prism Protocol's doing? Because I feel like they've just been dangling this shit forever.
The summary there, and I'm sure Coach could say it better than me, but I think Hyperion was the co-founder, and he's a big snake. And Ryan Lyon, remember, he was like working on it. He got fucked by him, and he also fucked over Jimmy, and then Jimmy fucked over TFL, and everybody fucked each other. I think that they were pretty lost at sea, old Prism Protocol. I think they're pretty confused as to what they're supposed to be doing next, to the point where they've lost all momentum now. And even if they did launch, nobody would care.
It's the case of a guy who sort of pissed off close loyalists and now has no true believers. And it's just like a thing called Prism or something that is promising an airdrop, but there are no real like big believers or big supporters or community or anything like that. Like it's nothing like Kujira or something. So it's sort of like dead. It's a man's failure to entice a crowd of supporters around him.
Yeah, it's very sad because I mean, I think that was probably one of my favorite things on, you know, old Terra. And I know that they did have people like Ryan and, you know, LeJimmy that were very big kind of, I don't know if they worked for him, but like at least, you know, advocates as far as like, you know, talking about it and teaching people it because it was, you know, it was fairly complicated for like your average kind of user. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, I saw they rebranded, they changed the I in Prism to a Y, and it's like, okay, it's been like a fucking 2 years now. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, look at all the shit Kujira's done in 2 years. And like, meanwhile, you know, they're still like dead in the water, just kind of dangling people around saying, you know, send your delegations to my validator for an airdrop. And so it's just been pretty sad to see, I guess.
Yeah, the validator airdrop grift.
Yeah,
that's a funny thing.
Well, that and the whole like, I know there was like some controversy because they weren't even going to honor people's, you know, Lunk Prism that they had or whatever it was. Was their token Prism? Their token was Prism, right? I think. But yeah. Anyways, yeah, that was, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for confirming. Yeah, that was the kind of the vibe I've had over the past few months is that it's
just Bruce, when's the last time you heard from Jimmy? Like, what happened to him? He just disappeared off face of the earth or what?
Oh, I don't know. I think he's doing, I don't know, AI stuff or whatever. I don't know these days. It's been a while.
But did he like steal the, like, did he end up keeping the money he had or what? What happened to that?
I don't know. He had like, when was it now? January? I don't know. I don't know what the latest is. Probably.
He's not in jail as far as you know.
Should be.
Well, it's a bit of a weird one because I don't think there's any real means of enforcement.
Yeah, there's not only that, but there's probably no real law broken either.
Like, I think if TFL pursue it, they would be basically announcing they're the owners of the chain and it's their company or something. And they can't do that, right? Because it's pseudo decentralization, even though it's really not.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think that, yeah, they couldn't do anything about it.
It's like the perfect grift. He probably should have done what Chauncey at Angel Protocol did, and that is immediately when he was airdropped, sell everything and then give it back in Luna terms 2 months later for like a $7 million
like, sure,
profit.
Which is like short. It's like a free short on Luna.
The guy made like $7 million by stealing it for 2 months, then giving back the Luna amount.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to raise from Juno or wherever the fuck else.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's do charity work.
Yeah, never.
Yeah, he's just
never
back
trust
to
it.
At that point, I'm like, you fucking donate to your charities, man.
Yeah.
Like, immediately,
you're the rich one here.
He immediately just, immediately after that, like $7 billion ARB/steal, he went and raised from various other places and carried on. Goody, goody, goody. So, I don't know, weird fucking crypto land.
Yeah, some of these things that happened, it really is like this succumbing to temptation situation too. It's interesting, like how you watch people's character change when like they come into money and then they don't know what to do.
Change? It just reveals who you really are.
Sure, it reveals you. Yeah,
the fact of altruism, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at Trader QT.
Look what happened to me. Remember what I used to be like? Not anymore. Not even a little bit. This is who I've always been.
Is that because you married a good woman and so she's changed your she's changed you?
She was hitting me long before I made the money. And she still hits me now. So she hasn't changed. Hey guys, who's excited for the Astro Wars? Who's excited for the Astro Wars? We're going to compete for the Astro Tokens. Who's excited? Are you excited to get Astro Tokens? Remember? Remember that? Remember?
Yeah, how much is my Astro Token worth right now, by the way? Is it zero or what?
Like 2.4 cents?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
It's bad. It was at like 8-9 cents for a while, and then I think I forget someone sold a whole shitload, and it's just like never really recovered.
So it's been kind of given up upon.
I know they're moving their main operations to Neutron, so I don't know what that's gonna kind of do for them. And I know that Neutron is, you know, gonna be the hub for Rapstake ETH in the cosmos. I think they have almost like over like $10 million of liquidity for it. Last I checked, it's probably might be a little bit more now.
I'm curious, Bruce, how accurate my little Luna, I'm sorry, like link chart's going to be here. Like we're almost to 16. It's like getting to 1480 or something.
I bought some. I did buy
you think it's gonna pop exactly to that 16?
Damn it.
1580.
You were on the other side of the chain.
You bought from me. I sold you some link tokens. Thanks very much.
Well, I had too much Ethereum and I realized I couldn't be bothered holding that shit because I don't think it's gonna go up more than Link. Even if I ape in a bit later than Sefi.
Yeah.
Yeah, the odds of like some kind of gigantic hyper ETH run is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of dubious to me.
Yeah.
It just takes too much money. It just takes too much money.
You have a little run at some point, but it won't be like blowing your brains out, sort of like, well, you know.
No.
It's
gonna, I need I mean, to do it the other way around,
about,
really.
I don't know about UK and Europe and shit, but like the economic metrics in the United States are just complete shit right now. Like they're not looking good at all. As far as like how the average like supposed mass adoption buyer is going
to
have any
to buy a loaf of bread here in France, you have to take a wheelbarrow of coins, notes, and then they say the exchange rate has changed. go back and get two wheelbarrows. It seems to be happening. My phone battery is going to die. I'm in a basement, so I'm going to have to leave this space. But it's been good.
No, you're not. You could just get a charger.
No, I can't. It's not possible. So it's been great to catch up on old times. But I've got to go now. So
you don't have a charger
with me. I'm going to be lost.
He's
I'm
lying.
Going to be lost.
He's going to W Lunar Space.
Yeah, I'm going to meet the leader of the W Lunar Coalition DAO so we can discuss our next move to get one-to-one conversion activated and honor the smart contract, because a smart contract is a smart contract and nothing less. That's what I've always said. See you later.
Is there some reason why we weren't able to get through to that crowd that like their money's gone?
Yes.
Bruce, like, what was that?
Because code is law.
Code is law. If you look it up on Etherscan, if you go on Etherscan, you can look very carefully and you can see right here, you see where it says Luna. What did it say? Luna. It doesn't say Lunk. It says Luna. What is this? It's a smart contract. You can't rewrite it, because what's the point of a contract if you can just rewrite it? So I've been scammed. I am owed money and I am not leaving this store until I speak to the manager immediately.
I can't believe years you can remember the entire gist of their argument.
Of course I can. I remember everything.
Like, what are you talking about? That was a year of our lives.
It's full on every day.
It's a bit, like, I forgot what the talking gist about, of the argument actually was. I was like, what the, like, I don't, I've like moved on from that, like, whole
he
thing.
He gave you a 20-second summary. This was a year of our lives. We did it nonstop. You've had some kind of spaced out amnesia.
It was a perfect, no, it was like a perfect rendition of the wrapped Lunk freak.
I remember everything that anyone's ever said at any point ever, because I have a photographic memory, and now I'm going
to. You really appear to. Oh, we're going to lose you in the elevator, huh? Okay, fine.
Bye-bye.
All right, Bruce, I think, I haven't seen the FET people or whoever it is like pumping anything yet in terms of AI stuff. When do you think that's going to go?
What even is it supposed to be? I looked on the website, some agent shit.
It's a it's like an Internet of Things, like connectivity thing of some kind. So, and like the name is FET AI. I don't know, like, I didn't research it enough. I know it's a Cosmos chain. And I know that like it pumped purely on AI narratives so far. And it's like making higher lows for the last like three run-ups. So better higher lows than almost anything else. And you know how it goes. It's like if it gets close enough to the prior high and we're returning to bullish times and Bitcoin halving or whatever, like it almost doesn't matter what it does. People sort of like start riding the, you know, riding the wave.
What's the market cap?
Yeah, it's like, let's see, it's not particularly big, so it's like 386 mil market cap. So it's like trading volume right now is like 66 mil. So, you know, so like 20% of its volume or something like that, or 15% of its volume is being traded. And let's see here. Yeah, it just has like a relatively like just pretty chart. Now it could pull back a little bit, but like, you know, it looks fine. It looks like a good like hold it and see what happens. Because, you know, like the AI narrative thing is going to be recurrent for the next year or two, right? You know, like all these newbies are going to show up for their crypto and they're like, oh, like what about AI? Like, what crypto AI? And they're going to think they're a genius because they're going to find like this connection between some AI things and some crypto things, and they're just going to go buy it. And it's pretty likely. What do you think?
I don't know. One of my main problems is it's not really inside the circle of things that we know about well.
No, it's not. But it's definitely a legit project. I know that now. But it's not. And you can pick it up just like on your Kepler wallet or whatever. So it's pretty easy to, you don't need to buy another, you don't need to get another wallet and figure all that shit out. That's good.
I mean, so if it probably outcompetes Ethereum or whatever, then great. That'd be cool.
You know, the other thing I'm not sure of is what's inflation rate on this thing? Let me look. Hold on. Like, what's the yield on it as far as, let's see. Staking rewards is at, yeah, I'm not sure. Because here's the other thing. Like, let's say you buy it really cheap and it like 10x or whatever. Then you're like, you have to decide, are you just going to keep it for the free staking rewards forever? You know, like it just kind of makes you money indefinitely. Or do you actually sell the thing and just exit the thing? Not sure. You got to go to you at your desktop or anything or no?
No.
You're on your phone. Like, I think Cosmos Station normally shows you the yield rate, but you have to have some in the wallet. I didn't move it to the wallet or anything because there's not an obvious need to yet. Let's see here. I don't know. No, I mean, just based on like the sort of like the angle of its sort of parabola and stuff, like, you know, like within a year, if it's going to go crazy, it'll go within the year. So I didn't really feel that intent on having to move it to my wallet and shit. Like, it just looked like an easy one to me. Yeah, there you go. Chainlink's at 1485.
How many dollars of fetch do you have?
I didn't buy too much of that. Just enough to where it's like, if it does a where if it does a 10x, I'm happy with it. You know, I'll buy my wife a fancy car or something with it. That's all. Nothing too extreme. Just like gambler money. Because I don't have as much like specific conviction over it, like something like a Link or whatever. Mm. Like if Link it makes it to like around 31-ish, I'm pretty sure it'll just hit prior high and stuff and take off.
I'm having a look at the fetch Twitter.
The bad thing is though, like, so if you go on on TradingView and stuff, if you look at Total 2, it's the total altcoin market cap. The total altcoin market cap hasn't budged at all. So all you're really seeing is like pre-existing cash being shuffled around between coins and shit. So like the AI narrative thing pumped for a while, and now it's like Chainlink because they had a conference and all that stuff. But there's not a lot of new money. So like, I think the most legit projects are the ones that are going to pump the most.
Fetch is like 7.9% APR.
Okay, there you go. So I should probably just, like, I'm just going to be waiting. I should probably just send it to the wallet and stake it then.
See, I don't know. My thesis on Cosmos staking has kind of shifted. I'd rather be able to just like sell the pumps and buy the dumps rather than be locked in, unless it's over like 20%. Like or I can liquid stake it in like a ST version or something. Like, because it's just been
sure. Sure.
Like, I did that with Akash, right? Like, I had Akash staked, but I was missing like these massive, like, it'd go up to $1 and then down to 80 cents and then up to $1.10 and then down to, you know, 70 cents. And
yeah, Akash used to have crazy staking rates, like 40% or some shit long time ago. And I still have mine from then.
Yeah, now it's like, if you manage it a little bit, you can crush that by just like, you know, doing I mean, granted, obviously, you know, there's tax implications and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But if you even like micromanage it just a little bit, like, you can just absolutely destroy that, like, or even just double your stack. Like, I was doing that with Ox for a while. Like, I feel like every night I would go to bed and it would like pump like 20%. So I would just like go to bed later, wait for the pump, sell it, wake up in the morning, rebuy my stack. And then like, I did that for like a period of like 3 weeks and I like, you know, quadrupled my stack. So my thesis on Cosmos coins has kind of done the same thing. Like, unless I can ST it, like, I just keep it liquid so I can, you know, do shit with it.
Yeah, sure.
I think I have a little bit of Atom and my Kuji staked just for like, you know, these airdrops and stuff. But outside of that, I've moved everything to being you know, mostly liquid.
Yeah, for Atom, I have like a variety of wallets, so I might use one of them to, like, Shaw of Orbital Command came on, and he's like, "Yeah, you should just use the Stride thing." Now that the liquid staking module is active, like the Stride, liquid staked Atom is easy to trade, and you can still get most of the yield benefit because, you know, it's like compounding or whatever, right? But then you can also sell when you feel like it too.
Yeah, and then you can also take that ST Atom and, you know, do it like the old school days and run it back and mint some USK at like, you know, a 20% LTV on Kujira and go do something else with that money, especially if you think, you know, we've already bottomed at like whatever it was, $5-6. So, and then plus the ST is, you know, constantly appreciating. So like essentially you're getting your LTV higher as, you know, time goes on. So.
Yeah, I haven't played too much DeFi games lately, like getting on Kujira and fucking around with Atom and whatever. Partly because, now that we have, you can immediately turn to staked Atom with ST Atom on Stride. Like, I guess I could, because I don't lose like a month of staking on these wallets and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, I have enough in various Atom that like, do I really want to like go crazy and risk all of it somewhere? You know, not necessarily. So like simple staking is safe too. And so I sort of feel comfortable with that to some extent. I just left it. Like you're sitting around wondering if you're going to be like, you know, tied into like a wallet hack or some other bullshit or some smart contract failure is just not something I want to do too much of right now. I'm just not willing to do the legwork to pay attention to all that shit is the problem.
Yeah, I think the cap on ST Atom is pretty much, yeah, there's only 50K of USK you can mint anyway. But what you could do is, so it's like a 1% interest rate on the USK that you would mint. I think I saw that if you LP USDC and USK, it's like 20%. So you could essentially take out a loan on your ST Atom for USK, split that in half, and LP it, and just kind of passively, you know, earn the difference without really much risk.
There's only $50,000 worth of USK
left. Wow. So the supply. So the way that they do it, each USK asset has like a cap.
The concerning thing about that is like, if you assume that like a lot of the Kuji was bought by people looping their shit, like, aren't you basically hard capping the Kuji price to some extent because the degens don't have money to buy it?
So each asset that they onboard that you can mint USK with gets its own cap. So like Atom, so regular Atom has 1 million, but only like $120,000 has been minted. ST Atom, which is obviously the smarter way to do that, is $549,000 out of $600,000. So I think they have to go through governance to increase like the caps on the individual like assets, because I think they wanted to obviously, you know, avert any kind of, I guess, systemic risks if something went bad. So it's not like there's endless mint caps on these things. The average is about it looks to be like 500K per asset. But a lot of them are close to being maxed out. The only ones that are close to being maxed out are ST Atom and then Wrapped Bitcoin.
Bruce, do you think it's funny that I'll spend like 2 years accumulating some coin just so I can watch it go parabolic for a week? Am I deranged? What's your analysis?
I'm just reading something about Kujira. One sec.
Like I think Bruce knows this about me already. He's like, "Oh, you're just like holding on to all this shit. The only thing you care about is to have it go parabolic so you can draw rocket charts." And then people are like, "How come you didn't draw a rocket chart about my chain, whatever?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know." The other thing too is like now, like the legal environment for the so-called chiller is not so good either. Like depending on what kind of claims you make or whatever, or like you induce people to buy, or you make it look like something's going to go up or some shit. Like next thing you know, like, you might have, like, you know, the law, you know, beating down your door or whatever. Who needs that shit, right?
Yeah, just do the kind of thing I do. Rune is going to go to 1,000 or it's going to go to 0. Like, every fucking tweet is like Schrodinger coin.
To buy is the fact that you've, like, just the mention of it, but, like, the contents, no one can ever, like, a jury can't say, oh yeah, he definitely told people to buy this thing.
Well, the risk is mainly that you say this thing is going to X price, right? Like a promise of return or an expectation of return or something like that. But I prefer to glamorize the courage aspect. It's like, yeah, this thing could go to 1,000 or it could go to 0, but, like, this is the most volatile, extreme, ridiculous Schrodinger coin in the world. Like, and you'd be a pussy not to go for it. And if you're in crypto, just betting on, like, Bitcoin or something, you sort of shame people's.
What kind of brass balls do you have?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, you shame people's cowardice, and then you focus on, like, and you acknowledge the fact that it could go 0, it could go 1,000, but you're like, this is the one that is split the most. It has the most potential to do both. Right? And then you're okay. I think it's, I don't know. Morally, I wouldn't even promise a price anyway. Like, I couldn't stomach it. Something like that. It's horrible. Like, I absolutely hated it when people, like, in September and October and stuff, when people were, like, shilling Lunk to a dollar and all this stuff and buy Lunk. It's like, ugh. I found it gross.
The other thing, I think for sure that someone just reminded me of that, like, in a tweet, they're like, like, U.S. customers got locked out of a lot of exchanges. So on the one hand, you locked out of a lot of leverage, BlockFi, Celsius, whatever. But, like, Voyager and Crypto.com and a few of these things, they brought a lot of coins to the market that people could buy that were like, not available anywhere else as a way to, like, build their platforms. And as far as I know, like, no significant new crypto exchanges have emerged in the U.S. So you have, like, Coinbase, you have Crypto.com, you have, what else do you have? You have Kraken, a few other things, right? And there's only so many of them that are, like, legit, who's kind of survived all these markets. And if a coin is not available on US exchanges, and, like, KuCoin and Binance or whatever, those have been locked out of the US. Even Binance US, I think they closed it down, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, you know, your availability of things has gone down a lot. And I think few people are buying some shit on Mexi or some other things. One of the guys was telling me about, like, you know, some, like, microcap that was interesting. And I'm like, okay, I got to go make a Mexi account. There's, of course, like, OpenX. But, like, there's some, and some of these, like, they don't, like, legit KYC or shit. They might, like, say, oh, you can't come if you're from the US, but, like, if you make a VPN, you're fine, right? Like, I think right now, anything that's not available in the US is questionable. So, like, all you have to do is go to Coinbase and Kraken. And go, okay, like, is, you know, search their thing and make sure it's available. But FET, that was the other thing, Bruce, like, it's available on there. So Coinbase sort of, like, gives it legitimacy to some extent, and then, like, newbies are willing to buy it when they arrive. So I think that's another bullish one for that one. A bullish case or whatever. We're going to find out here. Wabi, how much Chainlink do you have? I'm going to shame you here because I told you for like a solid year and a half by Chainlink. You didn't listen, probably. Bobby, you there?
You. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politics. magic. I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terra Spaces.